Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and Happy New Year to all of you. We are beginning a new phase of life. And with that in mind, we're going to start off the year with a way of understanding that you as an individual, have the right of choice and that you don't have to be a victim in life. And to be able to know that you don't have to be a victim means that you have to take a positioning of personal responsibility. Part of that responsibility is honoring and respecting yourself, not just emotionally and mentally and spiritually, but also physically. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. My guest is Carl Helvey. He is a nurse practitioner. His life has been dedicated to educating people. He is a researcher as well. Carl Helvey is a man that at the youthful age of 79 decided he was going to put together the knowledge that he had acquired through his many years of being in the area of medicine. He has put together a book called You Can Beat Lung Cancer, Using Alternative Integrative Interventions. I would like to welcome to the airwaves Carl Helvey. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Donna. I'm happy to be with you.
Now, you have a most interesting story, I think, because you survived what was considered a terminal issue with a physical body, and this was well over 38 years ago. Would you tell us your story?
Right. In 1974, I had a dream. And I pay attention to my dreams, Donna, because I feel that that's one way God speaks with us, through our dreams, through our intuition, through our friends. And so I pay attention, and the dream told me to go for a chest X-ray. And so I went to my primary doctor, who was very traditional, and I couldn't tell him why I wanted an X-ray. But I told him I would like an X-ray, and he said, why? And I said, I just would like one. And he said, do you have symptoms? And I said, no. And he said, well, why do you want one? And I said, well, I just feel like I need an X-ray. So he sent me for an X-ray, and they found a spot that had not been there previously. So he asked if I would go in for a biopsy, and so I went to the hospital, and they did a biopsy. And then the surgeon comes in and starts telling me that he's going to do surgery and they'll do chemo and that I have lung cancer. And I said, wait a minute, I don't make snap decisions. I go home, I think about it, I pray about it, and I make a rational decision. And both the surgeon and my doctor said, well, you'll be dead 6 months if you don't have this treatment. And I said, well, that's my responsibility to make the decision. Your responsibility is to tell me the pros and cons of surgery, the pros and cons of chemotherapy, et cetera, and my responsibility is to make the decision.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept reemphasizing that I'd be dead in 6 months, and I kept reemphasizing that's my decision. I'm responsible for my own health and for my own body. So I came home, and I had a good friend. I was in a Search for God group, and I had a good friend who, it turned out, was my physician's sister.
And oh, for heaven's sake.
She had worked with a lot of cancer patients and had gotten them to a physician in Northern Virginia who had worked for the National Cancer Institute and had had a lot of success with Laetril, or vitamin B17, and the FDA and the medical profession closed them down. So he continued doing this under the table, and I had to sign forms that I wouldn't report him. But my friend referred me to him. She also asked if I would like a psychic reading. I'd never had one before, but I thought, well, everything helps. And so I had a reading, and he discouraged chemo and surgery and said it should be treated naturally. My friend watched her dreams. I watched my dreams. We all got the same thing, that I should not have surgery. I should just go ahead and treat it naturally. And so I had my appointment with the doctor in Northern Virginia, and he confirmed that it was lung cancer. He told me a special diet to go on, which was 75% raw fruit and vegetables. I could have some additional cooked vegetables and fruit, no meat, no sugar, no protein, no dairy. I couldn't even have peanuts because they're a high source of protein.
Interesting.
I could have grains. I could have nuts except peanuts, my diet, and that was pretty much my diet. I could have, he had me take Laetril 2,000 milligram a day, spread out over three periods. I think I had it breakfast, lunch, and bedtime. High doses of vitamin A, which I was hesitant because vitamin A being a fat-soluble vitamin, and the recommended daily dose is about 5,000 international units, but he had me on 300,000 units for
the
first week.
Oh, my goodness.
Right, and then the second week, it dropped to 150,000 international units, and then eventually it dropped down to 50,000, but it never went lower than that during the time that I was on treatment. And the theory is that vitamin A will keep cancer cells from becoming, it will help, they will become benign, and it will also kill the cancer cells. And so a lot of people still use the high doses of vitamin A, and then the vitamin B I took vitamin C high doses, I took vitamin E, which they said would help protect from the toxicity of the vitamin A. I took B5, I took B15, I took a variety of minerals, I took a variety of herbs, and the other very important thing was enzymes, and I took a combination of digestive enzymes and pancreatic enzymes. And that was basically what he recommended, and to that I added prayer, meditation, affirmations, visualization. I tried to be of service to others. I was on church prayer lists. I called Olga Worrell, who is a psychic healer in Baltimore, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on her list. I exercised regularly. I continued working. I didn't have any side effects. I tried to stay positive. And so I tried to use a holistic approach so that, you know, it wasn't any one thing, but it was a variety of physical, mental, and spiritual activities that I used. And I think that my doctor was so progressive, considering this was 38 years ago, because
Absolutely.
The current research backs up almost everything he did. I mean, it's just amazing. People still use pancreatic enzymes. They still use the high doses of vitamin A. They still find vitamin B17 or Laetril is very effective. There's only one doctor I know of that allows meat on his regime for cancer patients. That's Dr. Gonzalez, because he has a little different theory than all of the rest of the physicians that I know of. But everything that he did seem to be what is still being used, and the scientific data seems to be supporting all of the things he did 38 years ago.
Well, I wanted you to tell your story, because diet has a great deal to do with a lot of the physiological maladies that we experience. And everybody is so uniquely individual. And here you had gone through this so many years ago, and one of the points that you bring out in your book that I think was really an eye-opener for me, mm-hmm. you say, lung cancer is the second most prevalent cancer among men and women in the United States and the leading cause of death mm-hmm. from cancer. And
right.
I said,
right.
oh, my goodness, we don't hear anything about this. I mean, it's always breast cancer, and I'm not
right.
putting that down into a negative mm-hmm. positioning, or melanoma we hear a lot about. But mm-hmm. so much has evolved. When you think about what you did over 38 years ago and how valid it is today, yet we are constantly battling the paradigms of what I would call established protocols. This is what mm-hmm. you do. This is how you do it. And it is so damaging to the human body. And then they wonder why people cannot get well. And the balancing between the nutritional and letting go of what is so highly toxic to the body so that the body has a chance to win the battle. I think mm-hmm. there's protocols and there are protocols. And it's so difficult many times for people not to be afraid. I have a very dear friend. She said she was terrified. She knew deep down inside of herself that the protocol she was going to have to go through due to the established system, she really was a guinea pig for this,
mm-hmm.
was so toxic that the likelihood of her surviving is pretty remote. And it's affected her. She has brain fog. She has all kinds of things that go on. But she said, I was too frightened to do it on my
right.
own. And
right.
with
right.
what you have shared, Carl, you didn't try to do it all on your own. You had people that worked with you so that you yourself initiated a proactive approach, but
mm-hmm.
you took the positioning of making the choice, and you said, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I need to do, and then you followed your protocol. Now, let's talk a little bit about lung cancer. You say there's two types. There's the non-small cell lung cancer and the small cell lung cancer. What's the difference?
Actually, Donna, I can't really tell you. I looked that up and included that in the book, but I really do not. My background is all public health, and so my whole life has been keeping people well. And so I don't get a lot into sick type things. I did this because I wanted to show people that there is an alternative to the chemo, surgery, and radiation. But most of my career has been spent on helping individuals, families, and communities stay well. And so I couldn't tell you. I'm sorry. But
well, let me just give my audience a little mm-hmm. bit of information on it, because
mm-hmm.
apparently, and this I'm taking right from your book, mm-hmm. and I appreciate mm-hmm. your honesty here, say 10 to 15% of all lung cancer is small cell cancer that tends to spread widely through the body. There are, you know, it goes into the center of the chest and multiplies quickly. It can go into large tumors, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
There are non-cancerous tumors. You talk about that. You give a classification system of lung cancers. And the reason I want to bring this up is mm-hmm. that I think it's important for people to read. And I think it's important for us to understand that we can go on the Internet and we'll have a gazillion pieces of information. And when we can have a comprehensive book like you have put together, you are able to go through it much more easily. You're going to have reference points that if you want to research them further, that's going to be possible because you yourself have done a lot of reference work in this. Now, you bring out the fact that tobacco is mm-hmm. 87% of mm-hmm. any lung cancers. And I think what's so tragic, we have a neighbor that's gone through this. She's been a heavy smoker. She has had problems with her lungs. She has lung cancer, and she went into remission, and she's never stopped smoking. She's on all these medications, went through all these treatments, And because of much of what she's done, the medical treatment she's had, she's lost her hearing, but she's still smoking. I know of a family where the mother and father both were on oxygen machines. They hauled these tanks around wherever they went, still smoking. And it is really an interesting observation. And I can remember my neighbor saying to me, she said, I know I need to give it up. I just can't. And it was a habit she didn't want to change. And that is something that there is that level of accountability. If you have a habit that is detrimental to your well-being, you must make the choice, good, bad, or indifferent. You must make the choice about the change. If you want something to be different, you can't keep doing the same thing over and over again. And that is something that comes up. You talk about radon. You talk about arsenic, asbestos, all of these various things that are so important for people to know about. You bring out different points of information that historically have been proven to be very valid in the treatments of various cancers. The Hoxie formula, which is just a phenomenal story, and anybody can go to the library and can check out a video that was done on Hoxie. He passed away many years ago, but all of the information about him and his clinic and the success that he had. There are cancer organizations that you mentioned that are very proactive in wanting to help people win this horrific battle, which I think is interesting. When did cancer really start moving forward into the public eye? Because you didn't hear much about it. Cancer's always been around. I mean, there's ancient records on different forms of cancer, but not a lot of people got it. It was extremely rare. Now, it's just so prevalent. What do you feel has created this massive amount of cancer? I mean, it's just phenomenal what has evolved.
Well, it started with Hoxie was back in the 30s, and he was having so much success that he was harassed by the FDA and by the medical profession and got to the point where he was carrying $100 bills around so that when they put him in jail, he'd give them a $100 bill and they'd let him out. And so he was going through a lot of money, but he stayed out and he continued with his practice. And finally, I just want to tell this story and then I'll get back to, why I think it's so prevalent. But the judge appointed a 10-member group of doctors nationally to review his records, to talk with his patients, and to, evaluate the type of service he was providing. And they concluded that he was providing a much higher quality service than anyone else in the country and was having more success. And it was all natural, non-invasive, but they continued harassing him, and he ended up moving to Mexico. He had a nurse named Mildred who was trying to prove that he was a hoax. And so Mildred's mother developed cancer, and so she went to Hoxie, and he cured her cancer. And so Mildred became an ardent supporter of Hoxie, and after he died, she continued his clinic until she died. And so back in the 30s, cancer was around, but not near as prevalent as it is today. And I think that some of the things you mentioned, the smoking for lung cancer, if you consider both the primary and the secondary smoking, then you have over 90% of all cases are a result of smoking. That is something that's very preventable. Radon under the house is, again, something that's very preventable. Asbestos, again, at the national level, they're trying to deal with that with the laws and all. And so most of the lung cancer things are preventable, but then there is the air pollution for lung. There is nutrition. Our food supply has gotten so polluted with genetically modified foods from Monsanto and some others that have polluted our food supply, that a lot of people have gone to eating organic. There's growth hormones, there's pesticides, there's all kinds of things in our food supply that is, I think, a factor in cancer. Our fast food industry, with all of the preservatives and all of the processing and all of the other types of things that have happened to our food supply, and people want this because it's fast, so they go to the fast food places. But again, that's one of the worst things they can do for their own health. It goes back to the type of living we had when I was growing up back in the 30s and early 40s. We had our own garden. We had our own pigs. My parents bought a cow every year, and that was frozen, and we ate that during the winter months. But there was no growth hormones. There was no pesticides. There was no genetically modified food, so we were eating good food. We exercised. We, you know, as children, we had bicycles. We didn't have even cell phones, which I think, again, they'll find eventually is a component, the electromagnetic things in our environment. It's just not the environment that we had when I was a child, and it's not a healthy environment. And beyond this, I think that there is so much greed, money hunger, power hunger, etc., and a lot of turning away from God in our society, that it's no wonder that we have more and more and more cancer. And I feel sorry for the people that end up with cancer, because most do not know and maybe cannot afford to buy organic food or to buy the things that would protect them. And there has almost been like a breakdown in our leadership in the country in protecting us. Instead of protecting us, they're supporting some of the things that are harmful to us.
Carl, one of the things that you bring out in your book, you say lung cancers are not really all that responsive to chemotherapy. You talk mm-hmm. about an organization, the Oasis of Hope, mm-hmm. and you go into talking about a number of different physicians that have decided mm-hmm. to change how they work with people mm-hmm. and are very much proactive, which I think is important. But I wanted to bring out one of the items, and your book has so much detail. Your book is You Can Beat Lung Cancer. So the reason I was interested in your material is that it's not just lung cancer. Mm-hmm. It is mm-hmm. what is it that creates this to a degree, but more importantly, what can we do to take the life out of this? Because it's mm-hmm. a mutation of cells, and mm-hmm. anybody can have this occur to them. It doesn't have to be lung cancer. It can be 10,000 different types. So what we want to do is be aware that how we treat our body makes all the difference in the world. You talk about something called PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W.
Mm-hmm.
What happens with PAWPAW, and what is it?
PAWPAW is something that Dr. Forsyth in Nevada uses, and it's a supplement from trees. And Dr. Forsyth started using this, and he followed. Dr. Forsyth is very good about researching the treatments that he uses, and he followed this over 3 years and had a 28% survival with stage 4 cancer patients, 3 year survival. And there seemed to be almost no side effects, except maybe bloating and some nausea in a small proportion of that population. But he didn't stop there. Then Dr. Forsyth went on, and he started using something called poly-MVA, which had is it has palladium, which is an earth metal. It has alpha lipoic acid in, and it's mixed with minerals, vitamins, and amino acids. And he did a 6-year study with that, again, stage 4, 6-year survival, and he had a 30% survival. So he increased his first study to the second one by 2%. Then his third study, he added some plant-based natural homeopathic substances to the poly-MVA, and he again used stage 4 adult patients, a 5-year survival, and he had 46% survival for all cancer patients, and he had 39% survival for lung cancer patients. And the traditional is between 2 and 5% stage 4, 5-year survival. So he's having fantastic results. But again, like most of the brave physicians that are out there, it's not without penalty because the system does not want to see success. Consequently, Dr. Forsythe has been taken before the medical board, he's been taken before the FDA, etc., and they couldn't take his license because he didn't do anything illegal, but they tried to bankrupt him, and so it cost him a lot of money to support himself. And it seems like anyone, Dr. Brzezinski is another one that is having the same problem. Anyone that has a lot of success is a target of the FDA and of the medical profession because cancer is a multi-billion dollar industry. And everyone that is making money wants the status quo. And again, I'm so sorry for the patients, but if more and more people move to the natural, non-invasive treatments, then maybe medicine will wake up and realize that they need to look out more for patients and less for their pocketbooks. And the drug companies, again, are heavy behind all of this.
Now, there is an item in here that you talk about called Protocell. P-R-O-T-O-C-E-L, mm-hmm. And I know we've only got a couple of minutes before we are going to be finishing our conversation, and this is a fascinating bit of information because it's been developed by a brilliant American chemist named Jim Sheridan, and it's a combination of components that you say it's not vitamin or mineral, it's not herbal, and it's not homeopathic, but it is very, very safe, yet its chemistry has been found to be extremely effective in helping people deal with cancer. This is really quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. I asked Tanya to write a chapter for my book because I have spent most of my career working with low-income families and individuals in public health, and I wanted something that people could use at home if they didn't have the money to go to, say, Dr. Forsythe or Dr. Contreras. And I feel, a very close kinship to that population. And so I wanted at least one thing that they could use at home that was successful. And I think, again, the vitamin B17 that I used is also a low-cost treatment. It costs me about a little over $100 a month for the B17, and I recently priced it, and it's about $110, $120 a month. So in 38 years, it hasn't gone up very much. But my main interest was a low-cost a low-cost treatment that was successful. And so that was why I had asked Tanya to write the chapter on that.
Well, and this chapter is absolutely amazing. And if anyone listening knows of someone that's dealing with a challenge, this chapter on Protocell is absolutely worth being aware of, because it had given someone, as Carl Helvey was saying, the opportunity, if they don't have a lot of money, this is something that can really assist them. But there's information if you're taking supplements, which you should not take in supplements if you're taking this, because, again, we're dealing with the chemistry of the body, and that in and of itself is very significant to become alert to. Carl Helvey, your book is more than just about lung cancer. Your book is about how people can take charge of their lives and how they can work with their own well-being. And I know that you were mentioning to me before we went on air that you have a brother that has been diagnosed at the age of 91 with cancer. And there, things can happen. That happened to my grandmother at 92. She was diagnosed with breast cancer. But your book, You Can Beat Lung Cancer Using Alternative Integrative Interventions, again, is more than about lung cancer. It is about something that has become too pervasive in our society, in a healthcare condition that we can really prevent in many instances. But if you, for whatever reason, happen to get it, don't go into the guilt game. Don't become frightened. Realize that you have options. And your stories, your information, your facts, Dr. Bernie Siegel has contributed to your book, so many other people. It's just wonderful. And what is your website that people can go to?
BeatLungCancer.net. And for those that have other types of cancer, Donna, I have HolisticHealthShow.com. And currently I'm doing a series on cancer that involves interviews with some of the medical and other leaders in cancer and people who have had cancer and have overcome it using natural interventions. It's all natural. And I'm doing a series now that will last probably 4 or 5 months.
Well, that is wonderful. Carl Helvey, thank you for being my guest. For those of you listening, this book perhaps will give information, maybe even save someone's life that you know. You Can Beat Lung Cancer, Carl Helvey, H-E-L-V-I-E, is the gentleman that has been with me today. Thank you, Carl, for being with us. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be right back.
Thanks.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Again, Happy New Year to all of you that are just joining us. Telephone lines are now open at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I love featuring people like Carl Helvey because it is important we speak out and it is important we become aware that there is information available to us where we have choices. And to make choices and decisions not based on fear, not with someone giving us verdicts that will disempower us. And that is something, it's an individual choice. So I just am really thrilled whenever I can have someone like Carl Helvey, who is committed to bringing forth people, to people, information that's going to, again, empower them, not disempower them. Speaking of disempowerment, I don't know if you have kept up with information on drones. Well, I came across some details, and I thought, shades of Big Brother. And normally, I don't get into this, but I thought it was worth mentioning. Here in Seattle, we had a big, big issue of safety versus privacy. And this was about a year ago because the police department in Seattle, they were going to launch, and it hadn't been formally announced, their drone program. People were not too happy about it. We have not been happy about all the cameras that have been put in different places. Then there's positives and negatives with everything, but whether it's at an intersection or anything else, we don't feel like we have privacy like we did before. Now, this is some information on drones. It costs about $41,000 when a drone is made. And I know we've got a caller. Let me quickly give out these details, and then there's some other things I wanted to share with you. We do have a caller on the line. But these are some specs. A drone, on the average, weighs about 4.5 pounds. It travels at 30 miles an hour. It can go up as high as 8,000 feet. The maximum flight time with a drone is 20 minutes, and it usually carries two cameras. It has a high-resolution video, a still shot camera, and a thermal imaging device. Wrap your mind about that for a few minutes. This is Donna Sebo. We have a caller on the line. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi there. Happy New Year. This is Steven, and I'm calling from Canada.
Hi, Stephen. Welcome. Where in Canada?
I'm actually visiting my family on the East Coast in the province of New Brunswick.
Well, wonderful. I'm so glad that you've been able to join us this morning. Let's get down to business with you, Stephen. First of all, I'm seeing you in a very interesting, within a very interesting group of people, and you're standing up and you are speaking. Now, I don't know if this is a community meeting. I don't know if it is a business meeting within a corporate environment. But you are making some very good points. And I'm seeing people sort of talking in a very low hum, and you realize that some of the information that you're giving is different from what maybe other people have been aware of. So apparently you have done your homework prior to being involved in this meeting. So this is something that is going to cause you a little bit of concern because you're wondering, gee whiz, am I going to be harassed over what I'm sharing? And the fact is, no. You will be questioned because whatever information you're bringing out in this meeting, people may want to know what your resources are. Where did you get the information that you would be talking about? And that's something that you're going to be prepared to give out. I'm seeing you with some notes, and you're saying, I'm happy to share this with people. But I believe you're going to become more involved in an area of concern on a public basis. And this is something where you and a number of other individuals, I think, will come together as a unit to represent a concern. And believe it or not, I think you're going to get some pretty good results. Now, you've got an interesting year here in 2013 because you are coming into a different way of thinking. You are coming out of what I would call a pat attitude. What I mean is there may have been a belief system in place that you were perfectly comfortable with for a long period of time. And now you're discovering it no longer fits a particular modality. It's outdated. It no longer supports what you believe should be supported. Consequently, what's going to happen is that you're going to find yourself questioning a lot. This is a year, 2013, a year of challenging the obvious, questioning the obvious, and exploring and evaluating things in a different way. I believe that you are really going to turn about some of the perspectives that you've had, literally ripping them open and expanding them like 180 degrees. You're going to surprise yourself. You are going to say, wow, I never would have thought that my thoughts would have been changing so dramatically, and that changing would be relatively easy. And this is going to be a real, real interesting year. Financially, you're stable, and I just think that your world is going to open up in such a way and manner that there will be times you're going to say, I wish this would have happened 5 years ago, but of course you weren't ready for it. But now it is happening, and now you are taking that positioning, and you are going to find yourself with what you shift into and what you're changing your mind about this year. There is a brand new direction by October the 10th of this year that you're going to evolve into by July the 1st of 2014. So there's a lot in place with you right now that is expanding. I think it's going to really, really surprise you. I'd encourage you to keep a journal, because when you go back through your journal, you're going to be amazed at the amount of territory, I'll use that word, that you're going to cover. It's going to really surprise you. Do you have a question for me today?
Yes, I do, and thank you very much. That's very exciting. I do have big plans for this year, and in a way, you've addressed my question, but I'll formulate this question. I'm actually going to be working in South America, specifically in Brazil, on an academic project, and I'm leaving very shortly to go there. And, of course, my big question is really about, you know, how that's going to go and, you know, the concerns I have for, you know, about my work, but also about adapting to the culture and handling, you know, the language and all that kind of thing, and my concern about my safety and all that sort of thing. So that's kind of my question, although in a way you've already answered the biggest part of it.
Well, and that's true. Let me address a couple of your concerns. Safety. Common sense will go a long way. The greatest thing you can do for yourself is to cultivate associations with people and not try to be a loner. You want to cultivate that communication and interaction and partnership with individuals so that you don't decide to go off someplace all by yourself. You want to be sure that you are alert and aware to this. The culture, I think you're going to adapt to very easily. I think you're going to find it fascinating. Although, I will say this, you're going to find that some of the attitudes of what I call the male gender will be what may have been very strong and prevalent in the USA many generations back. It has not really shifted all that much there. So there's going to be an adaptability that you need to understand. It doesn't mean you have to change who you are. It just means you will need to see things from a different perspective. Sometimes you're going to feel like you're in the wild, wild west. So be aware. I don't think you're going to have any problem as far as women go. I think the women, you are going to have such a good communication capacity with women that there are going to be some fellows that are going to say, excuse me, what is it that you're doing that enables you to have such a good conversation with someone, a woman? What's your secret? And
okay.
You're going to say the secret is just listening, for heaven's sake. They're going to think you're nuts. Mm. But you're really going to learn a lot while you're there. And I wouldn't be surprised if you extend your stay. I think you are going to be there for an assigned period of time. You'll get your research. Be sure you take along a lot of memory sticks. You want to make sure you have an adequate supply of that, because you're going to want to back up everything that you do on your computer. You are going to have problems with computers.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
All right.
That's actually something I was concerned about. Yeah.
Have your backup systems ready to go. Assume nothing. Assume nothing when it comes to computers.
Okay. I'll take that in mind.
Great. Well, Stephen, Happy New Year to you, and thanks for calling in today.
Well, thanks very much. It is a very interesting topic today as well. I enjoyed the show.
Glad you did. It's been a delight having you. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break for just a minute. We'll be back, and I can take your call if you like. 888-627-6008.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back, and if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I would be delighted to do exactly that. Our guest tomorrow is Carla Brandon. We're going to be talking about heavenly hugs, and this, I think, is of interest. It's people's unique experiences with, well, the unknown. I'll leave it at that. And then one of my favorite people is Teresa Tapp. Now, Teresa, I became acquainted with 5 years ago when I was in New York City doing an appearance, and Teresa developed an exercise program called TTAP. And we're going to be discussing it because she has a PBS special that has been done. This woman in 5 years has just been able to accomplish so much, but her entire life has been dedicated to wellness. And so many of us, after the holidays, we feel like we're bloated balloons because of all the good cooking and the goodies we've been consuming. And we want to get back on track. We want to maybe trim off that 5 pounds that we put on with the goodies or more, depending on how much you consume. But more than anything else, we want to get our energy back because we just feel depleted after the holidays. Well, believe me, TTAP is awesome. I use it. I did it with this morning. She's got a 15-minute workout, but we're going to be talking about that and her research and other things that have been discovered. So Friday is just going to be an absolutely awesome day. It's a great way to kick off the new year so that you can get yourself into shape and not feel like you have to spend 5 hours at the gym. And it works. Believe me, I know. I've been using it for years. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. I wanted to continue to give you some information on these drones because this is something we're going to be hearing more and more about. Now, currently, drones are used in Orange County, California, Arlington, Texas, North Little Rock, Arkansas, Mesa County, Colorado, Gladstone, Alabama, Polk County, Florida, and Miami, Florida. The police departments are using them there. Now, the drone actually has been around for a while. We haven't heard too much about it, but it actually started in 1917, a little bit of history about it. They began testing, the U.S. military did, and the performance in 1917 was just totally unreliable, very erratic. But in 1944, the Nazis launched the V-1 drone, which at that time, in 1944, flew 400 miles an hour, and it was capable of carrying a 2,000-pound warhead. Well, in the 60s, the U.S. military started using drones for surveillance, especially over Southeast Asia. And in the 1990s, private companies started developing drones for commercial photography use. 2001, the U.S. launched its first ever drone strike. It was launched in Afghanistan. 2007, the FAA banned drones for commercial use. 2011, FAA authorizes drone use for public safety. And in 2012, the U.S. employed 7,500 weaponized drones, up from 50 in 2001. So it's a history that is going to be expanding even more because of density of population and so many other things. And here in Seattle, they are promoting it as, gee whiz, it's going to increase safety, it's going to help with search and rescue, disaster response, traffic mitigation, finding missing children, fugitives, and elderly people that might get lost if they have Alzheimer's, which we do have the occasional situation like that. And in October of 2012, the police department here released an operations manual with strict privacy policies, including assurances that onboard cameras will be turned so as to be facing away from occupied structures. Well, there's not a whole lot of faith in that one. And they're going to, there's just so much going on. So we need to be aware of this because this does have tremendous impact on privacy. On the other hand, there is something, for example, like the first drone-assisted arrest in the U.S. This man, Rodney Brosser, he was in Lakota, North Dakota, and he had occupied police in a 16-hour standoff, and this was on April the 9th of 2012. Six cows had wandered into his yard, and he wouldn't give them back. So a SWAT team pinpointed his location with a drone and infrared camera, then ambushed, tasered, and arrested him. And, of course, the cows were returned to their rightful owners. Well, this is Donna Seebo, and I know we are just about out of time. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be talking about heavenly hugs. And there's a lot of things this new year that I want to, this week if possible, to share with you, but there's so many good things in life. You know, 2013 is a year where we need to realize that we are going to be able to move forward for ourselves. I know there's a lot of stuff that's going on in the world that's negative, but I will tell you something. I don't know of any time in history where that hasn't been the case. But the way to work towards that positive accomplishment of creating change that's going to be for your well-being is being proactive and awake. We need to pay attention to ourselves, to our lives, to our wellness. What do we put into our minds? How is it that we can shift if we're not in such a positive positioning? What can we do to make things better? I give some suggestions in my newsletter, which just went out yesterday, and it will be up on my website today. My webmaster is going to be putting it up, so if you'd like to go in and peruse through it, use some of the tools that I suggest in there, including a vision board. I was working on that myself this morning for this year of 2013. And above all, remember that you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Nobody has the right to dictate to you how you think, what you should do. But we do need to think. We do need to take information that we're presented with and evaluate it so that we can know what our options are. That is your right. That is your privilege. I invite you to join me again tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on BBS Radio. Talk to you then. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.